from Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. All right, I have a confession to make. I am a recovering warrior. I'm alone, right? Okay. When I was younger, if I didn't have a big thing to worry about, I worried about things that were good. They were too good, and something was bound to go wrong. The everyday things didn't seem to worry me as much as the what ifs. As I got older and the issues became bigger, worries about children, health, work, one of my brothers had a serious bike accident, broke his neck, and then years later, MS, watching family members do silly things with their health, so on and so forth. And of course, intractable problems with friends and the world. One could get going, right? And yes, they're legitimate worries, but the more I worried, the harder it became to deal with the stress, surprise, surprise, and enjoy the rest of life. Sometimes I started to feel anxious if the phone rang and I knew it was that family member on the phone, because I couldn't do anything to make it better, and I will admit to once or twice hiding to avoid the call. I don't remember when, but at some point a few years ago, I was struck anew by this Isaiah passage. Those who waited upon the Lord would renew their strength. And although I've never soared on eagle's wings, I have learned that with much practice, that when I come to God with my concerns and then wait, often worry lessens, and sometimes I even feel peaceful amid ongoing trials. With this practice over the past 25 years, even if nothing or little has changed in the stressful life situations, I've changed, although I'm still a work in progress. Now when I start to worry, I often feel that little prompt that says, come to me, stop that. Or remember this verse, or along with another verse, be still and know that I am God. Thank God we've been given God's word, so I encourage you to find verses that help you. Prayers, we have worship services, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have each other to help us, to give us more faith, and to make it easier to manage. And I have learned again and again that God is truly with us, even if I can't sense it, if I will only wait.
Thank you, Heidi. Our second lesson comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Listen for God's word. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. This is the brief but poignant word of God for the people of God. Women, children, stinky fishermen, blind beggars, the handicapped, tax collectors, demon-possessed, prostitutes, religious leaders. Regardless of the group they were culturally relegated to, Jesus didn't shy away from anyone. Part of his life's mission was to connect with, free, and heal those who were physically sick or otherwise broken. And if we're honest, doesn't that really include all of us? Jesus prioritized the stigmatized, befriending women like Martha and her sister Mary, and incorporating them into his inner circle. He advocated for children to have access to him, welcoming them into his kingdom and into his lap. He wholly invested in the lives of his disciples. Jesus humanized the stigmatized. eager to hear what was on the heart of people like blind Bartimaeus, even though his need was abundantly clear. He never hesitated to touch the untouchables, even healing some of them on the Sabbath, so they would know that they were more important than the rules. He called Zacchaeus, the tax collector, out of hiding, addressing him by name. Jesus understood the stigmatized, separating their affliction from their worth. He casted spirits out of people, quietly showing that we are not defined by the demons that take hold of our lives. He forgave prostitutes, giving them the freedom to know authentic love. He even made time to speak truth to the religious leaders who were genuinely searching. Yet the stark reality is that Jesus himself was stigmatized throughout his life and ministry. His compassion toward others isn't profound just because he was holy. It's also profound because he was human. Jesus understood what it was like to be different, to be misunderstood, to be vilified and stymied. And while you and I may have never been falsely accused of blasphemy, our humanness makes us entirely qualified to prioritize, humanize, and understand others living under the cloud of judgment and condemnation. Women, youth, Republican, liberal, gay, addicted, depressed, immigrant. I imagine that the majority of you listening to me right now find you belong to one or more of these categories. But what we have in common far outweighs what makes us different. And in the journey to emotional wholeness, nothing means more than not walking alone. Jesus's ministry shows us that the way to break down stigmas is to build people up. Ask their names, listen to their stories, share your own. If you have experienced the relief and peace that comes from being comforted by someone who sought to humanize and prioritize you, then you have a gift to offer someone else. That's not just my interpretation of Paul's words to the church in Corinth. It's also my testimony. In the midst of my personal battle with depression back in 2016 and 2017, I remember looking in the mirror one morning and promising God that I would help others who were depressed if I managed to survive. The curious thing is that my opportunity to extend a hand came while I was still struggling myself. A former classmate shared about a walk for suicide prevention that she was involved with and why. She, like I, was beginning her journey to wholeness. She wanted to be part of the solution to a terribly painful problem. I could have donated to her cause, but I felt led to take that walk with her instead, to hear her story and share mine, which left us both strengthened to climb the mountains before us. My involvement with the mental health ministry here stems from my commitment to love others the way Jesus has loved me, to break the cycle of stigmas in our community and in our church, and to pay forward the second chance that I have been given. Amen.
Good morning. Take a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, very familiar to many of, hopefully all of us, from the Message translated by Eugene Peterson. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, what I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth. And what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't see things clearly. We're squinting in the fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust God steadily, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of the three is love. Now, anyone who knows me knows this. I am a man of few words, so feel relieved. I much prefer being succinct and to the point, so I ask this question. How many of us have carried pain that no one else sees? I know this to be true for me, and I'll wager the same is true for all of us at some point or another. I would put forward this among many realities. We all struggle with the cards we are dealt. Some have a tougher game to play than others, and that can be a lonely endeavor. The message within the text in 1 Corinthians challenges us. I would like to think that we can, in our own imperfect ways, be better friends to each other. You know, strive toward loving extravagantly, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, and moment by moment, listening and being present for each other. We all need someone to lean on. The journey to wholeness needs to be a loving, collaborative effort. We will trip and stumble along the way, but we can be friends helping friends, all of us being equal in God's sight. Love keeps going to the end. Amen.